Hallelujah. Turn with me to Colossians this morning. I want to just cover real quickly because there's sometimes we forget what it is that it means to make room. Hallelujah. So let me just show you just for a second out of Colossians here how it happens. Because see, sometimes we think it's about what we do, it's how we do, but it's not. It's about Him and His grace. You know, sometimes we think it's all about us acting right, but it ain't about us acting right. It's about letting Him do something in us. It's not something that we do out of our own power and strength. It's something we do out of an agreement with Him. An agreement with Him. Hallelujah. Andreas, you said, if there's anything you could do for me, that you would do it. So I'd ask you to just come and move forward here. I need your prayer up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Colossians, let's look at Colossians right here. Colossians 2, verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, which you are also raised with Him through faith of the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. In other words, He's talking about you. Having been buried with Him in baptism. Having been buried with Him, see, in baptism. Having been buried with Him, He's looking for you to recognize, not only did the old man die in that burial, but now there's a resurrection life that has come upon you in the resurrection identification with Him. That's the new identification He's given for us. It's a new identification. And when we begin to recognize there's an identification He's given to us out of His resurrection life, that's all-consuming power. Verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiveness. How many of our transgressions? All our transgressions. All your transgressions. So because He's forgiven us all of our transgressions, we can let it go. We can let it go. You have a choice today. You can choose to let it go. You can choose to no longer stay in that old place, but let it go. It doesn't matter what it was, let it go. It doesn't matter where it took you or where it put you, you can let it go and receive what He's doing today. Then let's jump down to chapter 3, verse 1. We see, He segues there for just a minute. He journeys off for just a minute. He gives you a little rabbit trail. Okay, about not getting caught up in some of the things of the world from some of the artificial sacrifices people make. But then He comes back and He says this. Verse 1. If then you have been raised up. Have you been raised up? Have you been raised up, church? If then you've been raised up, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. In glory. You're revealed with Him in glory. We're going somewhere. Because see, this revival fire has to happen within each and every one of us. It's something that's an opportunity that's available to us. And it doesn't matter where we were. What matters is where we're willing to go. Verse 5, therefore consider the members of your body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, and which amounts to idolatry. Verse 9, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self, which has been renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal which there's no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. I want to submit to you then this last verse 15. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is a perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of the God of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now notice something. You know, a lot of times when religion is telling you to do something, it's telling you to make yourself better by your own efforts. By your own efforts, essentially. If you boil it all down, it's by your own efforts. In other words, it makes you responsible for doing it. But what is the word here showing you? The making room is not about your own efforts. Those are the things that come as a fruit, what? Of being with Christ. Of going in and seeking Him in the places that are above. Seeking Him and being identified and hidden with Christ in God. When you become hidden with Christ in God, the other things that are following that, the other verses, that's 1 through 4, that's verse 1 through 4, then the other verses follow because it's a natural extension of who you are when you allow yourself to be hidden in Christ. We don't have to do it all in our own. We find our identity in Him, and out of this identity, the other things flow naturally, resulting ultimately in a person who is full of love and the resulting of a person who is full of thankfulness unto God. It's not something that we do out of our own strength. We allow Him to do it in us. See, making room is about daring to dream with Him. Making room is about daring to dream and daring to realize that He is and recognize He wants to take you somewhere. He wants to take you above and beyond where you've been. He wants to take you out of what has been keeping you stuck. He wants to break off the chain of the past. And He wants to bring forth the desire of the future, the desire of where He's going, the desire of His revival in your heart. Because, see, sometimes we get a little afraid of that word revival because it's been overused so many times. But it's not an overuse. It's simply more life, new life for you. New life in you. New life. It's an alignment. It's an alignment. Last week she said that the making room was in the decision, because the decision you make is what makes the room for you. Joel 3:14 says that where many are in the valley of decision. Many are in the valley of decision. See, the decision is a valley. It's a fruitful place, but it's a place where you break out from. Because God has something to reveal in you, and when He begins to reveal it, you see, it becomes a fruitful place for you. A place of expansion. But we have to not be afraid of the decision. We have to not be afraid. We can just look and expect, have an expectation that He's doing something in me. Why am I so caught up in this? Why? Because I have a vision. I have a vision for the transformation of this body. I have a vision for the transformation of our people. I have a vision for the transformation of what the body of Christ looks like. Because, see, I want to look like what the Bible says we can look like. Hallelujah. I'm wanting and I'm looking for you to catch the vision. I'm having expectation that we all catch the vision. Because, see, we can all stand around the campfire and we can all behold the campfire, but we all got to catch the vision of the fire. When we catch the vision of the fire, we'll move into it. When we catch the vision of the fire, we'll stand with it and we'll be in agreement with what God is planning in your life. And we'll be in agreement with the transformation He wants to bring forth. Because, see, He wants to bring forth the best of you. He wants to bring forth the wholeness of who He's called you to be. God loves you. He's all about you. He's all about bringing out the best in you. And when He brings out the best in us, that allows us to bring out the best in someone else. that allows us to replicate what he's doing in us. Because the excitement that he finds in you, that intensity, that zeal he finds in you, will attract someone else. When we make room, we receive his love. When we make room, we receive his love. Because Romans 8, 38 and 39 tells us that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So the more we make room, the more we're inviting the love of God to be with us. Because the only separation that's possible is in us. Because all the things that he mentioned there were all external things. It didn't matter what the circumstances, it didn't matter what the situation was. It only matters what we choose to do in our heart. When we make room, we're inviting and receiving the love that's already been made available. Hallelujah. Why was I missing all this? Because, see, when we make room, that was like the instruction in that little word the Lord gave me last week that we shared last week, was to make room for his revival fire. When we make room, we can receive the fire. When we make room, we can receive the fire. When we make room, we receive the fire. And Jeremiah 23:29 says this, that the word is a fire. His word is a fire. His word comes as a fire within each and every one of us. His word comes in the fire to bring about the change that he's already set up for you. We don't have to be afraid of the revival fire. We can rejoice in his revival fire, knowing that it's not coming to harm us, but coming to increase us and promote us. I told you last week about when I first encountered the fire of God. What I've come to realize this week was that wasn't the first encounter, it was actually the second encounter with his fire. But in that second encounter, I just saw all these flames, and I saw myself walking through it, and I got afraid. I stopped the vision. I mean, I just like, whoa, and backed up. Because I didn't understand that this fire comes to bring increase. Fire comes to bring increase. Even when something seems to get burnt down, it still brings increase. Why? Because it causes a fruitfulness to the ground that couldn't be there otherwise. So sometimes we're looking to try to hold on to our thing and not realizing that thing, even if it was a good thing, was a bad past season. Go with me to Matthew 3. And while we're looking for Matthew 3, let me just tell you what fire does. Oh, I guess Matthew's in front of Mark, isn't it? Sorry. Glory. I was looking on the back side of Mark for some reason, and that doesn't work. It's the front side of Mark. But revival fire comes, it's coming. The fire of God comes to set a new course in a new direction. The fire of God comes to make an announcement about what God's doing. It comes to make a shift in the dynamic that you're in. Think about it. Right here, we're going to see it. Right here. Matthew 3:11. As for me, I baptize with, this is John speaking, I baptize with the water for repentance, but he, Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I. And I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit. And his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly clear this threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. See, what that is a promise that nothing that's precious will be missed. When his fire comes, nothing that is truly precious will be missed or harmed. But see, the thing that was a past season will no longer be necessary Because why? We're having a shift of season. We're having a shift of season. So that thing that was there in the past season no longer needs to dominate the current season. He's making a shift of seasons. In Acts 2, you see the new covenant being announced with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. Here you see he's saying it's coming and it's going to come with the Holy Spirit and
fire.
Why? Because it was a new shift and a new season. When Jeremiah was preaching, his word, he was preaching it. He said, there's a fire shut up in my bones. He couldn't stop until it got released. Why? Because there was a shift in seasons. There was a shift in what he was doing. And sometimes it's necessary for the old, which was a good thing, to be removed in the shift of seasons. Do you know what chaff, it mentions chaff, the chaff will be burned up. Do you know what chaff is? It's the hull around the fruit. In other words, if you have a piece of grain of wheat, for example, and the chaff is that little hull, the little protective covering that's been around the wheat as it matured and came into its season. But there comes a day when it's no longer necessary to protect that which has already come into its season. There's a day when you come and you release the old so you can step into the fruitfulness of this season. Some of the things that we've adopted along the way in our Christian walk, they might have been good and they protected us for a season, but we got to let go so we can travel into the fruitfulness of this season. Sometimes we got hurt, but we have to let go of that hurt because it no longer protects you. It never protected you, but it was something that has to be let go because it seemed good for a season, but it's time to let it go. Hallelujah. It seemed good for a moment, but it's time to step into the new season. It's his fruitfulness that he's looking for. And he looks and says, I will bring forth all the wheat, but the chaff has got to go. I'm going to protect that which is precious. There's nothing that's precious that's going to be set aside, but everything that was not precious any longer is set aside. It's going to be moved and removed, and it's going to be consumed by the fire. Hallelujah. That's good news, because that means the chains that bound you are consumed by the fire. That means that the old thing is consumed by the fire. That means that you can step into a fullness of this season. You can step into the fullness of what he's doing in your life now. No longer guided, no longer being controlled by the old thing, but embracing the fullness of the fruitfulness he placed in your life. Hallelujah. See, fire comes to announce a new season and announce the new covenant. Announces change in your life. I remember when I was at Bread of Life and Arthur walks by and just releases the fire of God on me. And in that moment, as he walked by and he released the fire of God on me, I began just, I know, you're still going to look at me weird, but it's okay. I mean, I just began just shaking and burning and shaking and burning and shaking and burning, where people on the road behind me could feel the heat coming off of my body. Now, see, not everybody has to shake and burn like that, because I had a lot of issues and they needed to be shaken and burned, okay? It took a lot of burning to get all that off. But I can tell you, I was just shaking and burning and shaking. Matter of fact, they had to drive me home that night. Someone else had to get in my car and drive me to my house. They literally drug me inside like you would a body and laid me out on the floor and left. And I'm still shaking and burning for like 3 more hours on the floor. I say it took a while to get all the stuff, all the chaff burned off. It took a while to get that old protective covering removed. But you know what? God can do something in that moment, because it was announcing a new season. Because in that moment, I began seeing visions and I began understanding dreams that I'd always had, and I didn't know where to put them. And now they make sense as to where they were going. in that moment, I began to see, I saw the resurrection as it actually happened in that moment. I lived through that resurrection and walked with Jesus in his feet for that resurrection moment. And I understood things that I'd never even read in the Bible yet. Why? Because he was doing a new thing. He was removing the old, and he wanted it very clear to me that that old husk had been removed. That old husk had been removed, and something had been changed. He was announcing the new season. A new season, a complete change. I've never had to walk back to those things. Never desired to walk back to those things. Because he was doing a new season. A fire is a natural process. It's a process of transformation. It's a natural process. Do you recognize? Do you realize that wood itself doesn't actually burn? What happens in a fire is the heat that comes close to the wood begins to release gases and components out of the wood, and that combines with the oxygen, which becomes the fire. It's a process of transformation. It's a chemical change that happens so that wood is no longer made up of all the components it had in it before. What it does is it reduces it to its minimal components, and part of it becomes ash, and the rest of it is given up, becoming the flame that you see. That's the way God works this fire in us. It's a change within us. It's a change. It's at the molecular level. It changes us at the molecular level, and we change our very DNA gets changed into what he's calling us to be. Just as the wood is, because see, the fire is on top of the wood, but it's not actually in the wood. If you could actually put a piece of glass over there and with a funnel on the top of it, the fire would be on up here, not on the wood. Because it's coming out of the change brought by the heat. So when you have something that comes into your life and it's a little bit of heat, know that that fire and that heat is releasing the chemical change so you can become part of his DNA. To come back to what he called you to be, the purity of what he called you to be in the first place. See, it's a natural process. Something to be embraced. Not to be feared, but to be embraced. Hallelujah. It's the fire of the God that motivates us. It compels us. Like you tell, like with Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 23, he basically says that there's fire. Was it 23? No, Jeremiah 20. There's a fire shut up in my bones. There's a fire shut up in my bones. See, it's motivating you. It's compelling you. Into your destiny. See, Jeremiah, everybody was coming against him, but it was the fire of God in him that reassured him, I'm on the right path. And even if I wanted to, I can't stop now. He concluded that I might as well not even try to stop now, because I might as well just go with where God has already taken me. So just jump in. Around here, we say, jump in. In Jeremiah, he just said, it was his way of saying, I jump in. Why? Because the fire is compelling me to jump in. It's motivating me to jump in. It's motivating me to recognize who God called me to be. To step into my true identity. Hallelujah. There's an identity crisis in America. And so because of that, we have not looked to whom we should look. But when we look to whom we should look, we no longer have to follow that which is not real. If I know who I am, I don't have to look to some actor or actress to tell me who I should be. If I know who I am, I don't have to let somebody who plays basketball or baseball or anything else tell me who I should be. Why? Because I can step into the identity that I have in him and be assured, because there's a fire in my bones that convicts me and convinces me that I'm where I need to be. It's something that's so indigenous to who we are that it's inseparable from us. And in that, we find the place He's called us to be. We find the place that brings in. Well, you know, Pastor LaRue has spoken of, in blessing you'll bless me out of Genesis 20. In blessing you'll bless me, and multiplying you'll multiply me. And we can look at that as something. There's a lot of ways people can look at that thing. But you begin to call out for who He called you to be. See, that's a word, if you start listening to it through the heart of God, that's a word of evangelism. Because in blessing you bless me, in multiplying you multiply me, that means that when I'm starting to look and work and interact with somebody, there's a multiplication of what God is doing in my heart. There's a multiplication that's released to the world around me. When you're blessing me, now I'm able to be part of the generosity that causes someone else to be able to prosper. God is looking for us to receive out of a different picture and a different paradigm. And it comes because we're allowing Him to breathe on us with His fire. And the best of all, the fire brings the glory of the Lord. Because the fire is the glory of the Lord. It's His glory. And it can be so intense that people just totally back up. Exodus 24:17. Let's just read it real quick. Because in Exodus 24:17, he tells us the fire is the glory. Verse 16 says, "And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. In the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop." The glory of the Lord is like consuming fire upon the mountaintop. It's a consuming fire that compels you to come up to Him. It compels you to step in with Him. It compels you to look at the thing differently than you did before. The glory of the Lord, when the glory of the Lord shows up, there's a consuming fire. So when we're inviting the fire of God into our life, we're inviting the glory to be revealed in our heart. The glory to be revealed in our lives. And if enough of us begin to collectively invite that glory, it changes everything about the atmosphere. You see, one of the things about fire is fire releases more fire. Fire encourages more fire. When that wood gets consumed, it releases heat. And guess what the heat does? It releases more of the components that create the fire. It will release components. Because see, the fire in you will begin to release components that set somebody else on fire. Because they'll see something that they need. They know. We all know at some level there's a change needed in my life. We all know at some level. So when we come up against somebody who's on fire, then that change begins to rub off on us. We can release the fire. We release the fire because we release change. We invite it. Hallelujah. Last thing I want to talk about, because I want Tina and Common, we want to just minister to you guys here for a moment. But I just want to encourage you. Fire is involved in every offering. Not every offering, most of the offerings. Fire is almost always involved in the offerings in the Old Testament. Why? Because God is setting a tempo for us to see. He's setting something for us to know. And so when there's an offering of repentance, it comes with, come on, where am I at? It comes with fire. When there's offering of thanksgiving, it comes with fire. See, when we embrace the fire of God, we embrace His fire, we're embracing an atmosphere for thanksgiving. We're embracing an atmosphere for change. We're embracing an atmosphere for any repentance that needed to be done, but we're embracing who His purpose is in us. Hallelujah. So this morning, I just want you to make room. Make room. then more. And this is something each of us has to do on our own, is make room. Dan Moeller said something, and I don't remember now when he said it or whatever, but anyway, what I heard was that don't let something that you see, or don't let something that they don't see affect what you do see. Don't let something that they don't see affect what you do see. When you see the fire, whether or not your neighbor sees the fire isn't the point. When you begin to be on fire, then he's going to see it. When you begin to be on fire, then he can receive it. But don't let your neighbor determine what you're going to see or not see. If you're letting the fire of God lead you into healing, then you hold on to that healing and hold on to the power of that healing, whether your neighbor sees it or not. When you see that fire and for the blessing of God, then you understand and you hold on to it no matter what your neighbor sees or doesn't see. When we embrace it, we embrace His possibility. When we embrace it, we embrace who He is and the fullness of what He's already offering us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like we spoke before, 2 Corinthians 5. Gary, maybe you want to come and just play a background as we minister here. But as we, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we've become a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. In the fire, things become new. Because what was old cannot stand, but what is new is coming forth. And it's an increase, it's a promotion. It's a moment of opportunity. So I'm going to invite you to just come up. We want to pray with you. And we'll also bring that big offering basket up, because the fire of God touches everything. It touches everything. So you can just leave your offering as you need to. We have, you know, we take care of the business of the church, but we want to take care of the business of you. I want every heart to be touched by transformation. To be released into transformation. To be fulfilled in transformation. Every one of us has an opportunity to embrace what God is doing in this hour. And I think there's something that He's shaking. I think there's a testimony He's releasing in each and every heart. And as He releases that heart into the testimony, there's something He's doing to draw us. And as He does it, He cleanses us, washes us, makes us whole. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for the fire this morning. We thank You, Lord. We make our heart open to Your fire. We make our hearts, Father, open in agreement for your standing. We stand in agreement with You, Lord, for what You're about to do in our lives as we invite You. Lord, we come to stand around this campfire, and Lord, as we stand around the campfire, we cause and release increase to it. So then it becomes more than just a campfire, Father, it becomes a holy blaze. That affects our city and our nation. A holy blaze that goes out from this house, that goes out from this house, Father, and makes a journey across this land. I thank You, Father, for a holy blaze, Father, that transforms us, each and every one of us, so that we become, Lord, who You've called us to be. We thank You for a holy blaze, Lord, that comes and brings life, Father, where life was not before. It comes and releases our newness of purpose, Father, where there was no purpose before. It comes and releases, Father, the call that God has in our life. We thank You for a holy blaze, Father, that releases, Father, the destiny that You called into this place. That You called us, Father, for such a time as this. You've called us for such a moment as this, in such a place as this. And it doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It only matters, Lord, where You are now. And Father, we thank You, Lord, that it's not by our efforts, but simply by our agreement for it to happen. We don't have to make it happen, Lord. We just stand and rejoice, Lord, as we come and we spend time with You, as we come and step into Your holy dwelling, Lord, that it has happened and released over us. Hallelujah. We release it, Father.
Hallelujah. So this morning I just release you to come, and we're going to quickly pray for you. We're just going to impart fire. Just a quick release this morning. Quick release over your heart, over your destiny. Quick release into who God called you to be. Hallelujah. If I can have, can you catch for a moment? Yeah. Glory. Father, we just celebrate what you're doing in these hearts. We celebrate for the change, Father.